welcome everyone, a very warm welcome in our service tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we want to look again at the Word of God. We're looking at the gifts of the Spirit, and we're looking tonight at discerning of spirits. And I believe this is very important that we pray for discerning of spirits, and we want to be looking at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8 to 12 this evening. And also tonight, I want to pray for our brother John Weir, folks here in Northern Ireland know our brother John Weir. He's going to be running another mission, a drive-in mission up in Dromara, and many of us have relatives that were saved the last time we had a mission up in that area, so we pray that God will use our brother John Weir mightily again. We want to pray for our brother, and also I want to pray for Christine, who lost her husband just recently, and the children. It's very difficult for her, and we want to be praying for Christine as well tonight. But let us read the Word of God from 1 Corinthians, and I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, you that's listening in from abroad, our brethren, Pakistan and Germany, America, Australia, New Zealand, over here in Ireland or Scotland, wherever you're tuned in from, whoever hear the message, may the Lord bless each and every one. Let's read from verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 12. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man several as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Then if we read 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongue, to another the interpretation of tongues. Let us pray for a moment while we just look briefly this evening, and it's just a few thoughts to encourage you tonight, maybe a personal testimony from something I saw happening myself in the ministry, and there's so many Bible examples about this, and we just trust the Lord will bless someone tonight. Let's bow our heads. I want to specifically pray for Christine and her family, and the Lord knows who Christine is. I don't need to mention her second name. The Lord knows her and the children. And also for Brother John Weir, that the Lord will bless him. Bow our heads for a moment. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy mercy and for thy grace. We humbly approach thee in and through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that the veil is rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and we have open access by the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. Father, we come cleaning the merits of that precious blood tonight. We ask, Lord, that you'll wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb. We shall be whiter than the snow. Forgive us every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed. Sanctify us and fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. I do take the Holy Ghost to help me in Jesus' name. And I thank you that you do. I pray for this dear woman, Christine, and her daughters. Lord, that you'll comfort every one of them and save them in Jesus Christ's name. Pray for our precious brother John Weir, that you'll use him mightily as he prepares for this mission, this drive-in evangelistic campaign. Pray that souls will be saved and that you'll get all the praise and all the glory in Jesus Christ's name. Now, Father, grant thy wisdom tonight as we look at these thoughts from Corinthians and discerning of spirits. And we know, Lord, that your spirit, our spirit, beareth witness with your spirit that we are the sons of God. And we know the sons of God are led by the Holy Ghost. Now, Lord, we know there's another spirit in the world today. There's the God of this evil age that leads the children of disobedience. But I pray that we might be of those that are obedient, that are led by the Holy Ghost. Sanctify us, wash us, cleanse us in your precious blood and by the washing of the water of the word. In Jesus' name tonight, touch every heart, every life. Touch my dear brother, my dear sister. Save our children, save our loved one, deliver them, set them free. We know, Lord, there's something's happened. And Lord, your coming is not hand. And we pray you'll help every one of us to be watching and waiting for that great catching away and changing of the body. Bless your people Israel, Lord. For you've told us to pray for Israel. Bless those in authority. Give them wisdom. In the name of Jesus, bless our nurses and all our doctors. So we commit it all to thee in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. God bless each one that's tuned in tonight. We're reading from First Corinthians 12, mainly, where we're speaking about tonight. I want to quote you Psalms 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endureth till all generations. And I'm deliberately reading that psalm to make a point that God's truth will endure till all generations. God's servant made a tremendous statement. He said that God never takes away, he adds to. Some people think that gifts is taken away. I don't believe that. I believe they're here. I absolutely believe that God does not take away, he adds to. Firstly, let me say gifts are set in the church, the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that it is God that has set the gifts in the church, the body of Christ. Now, the true church is not some denomination. The true church I'm talking to, you know, church means called out ones. Let me say that. And the church was first in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, and God called them out, and they were first known as a church in the Old Testament. And people are called out, and we know that God calls out people in every single church age and in every generation called out. Then by one spirit are you baptized into one body. So there's not two or three bodies. There is one spiritual body, the mystical body of Jesus Christ. You can't join it by membership, signing your name or anything like that. You're born into it by the Spirit of Almighty God. Jesus is only one body. If he were to give part of his church the supernatural and to strip part of it off the supernatural, he would be guilty of having respect to persons. Now, God cannot give part of the church the supernatural and restrict part of the church from the supernatural. But the problem is, preachers are preaching false. They're preaching false. I'm sorry to say it, but it's the truth. They're preaching that gifts are not for today. When we believe, the Bible says, Jesus Christ is the same, Hebrews 13, verse 8, yesterday, today, and forever. Romans 2, verse 11. There is no respect of persons with God. Remember one thing. One thing that God's servant said. He said the greatest revelation of all revelations of anyone watching is the Seven Church Age book. In that book it says this. That the greatest revelation of all is that God never changes. Now mark that down. God never changes. God cannot change. Because his first thought is perfect. And remember this, that God does not change his mind about his word. Whatever God says will remain the truth always. It will never have to be added to or taken away. We're not to do that. change. His word doesn't change. He's the same. That's why Psalms 100 verse 5 says his truth endureth till all generations. Praise God. Now, and we know that he's no respecter of persons. He has only one body, not two. There's one body, not two. The gift of the Holy Spirit, there's fivefold ministry, but then there's nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And these nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are divinely inspired and miraculously given. They're the miraculous supernatural gifts of God. I hear people belittling tongues, but yet genuine tongues can be a powerful gift. Now, I'm not preaching about tongues tonight, but I believe in genuine tongues. I know there's a lot of false tongues, but that doesn't bother me. You know, you don't refuse £20 because somebody got a false one. You'll still take the genuine £20. And don't ever be put off because of someone that's false. This is why I'm speaking about discernment tonight, discerning spirits. Now, these divinely miraculous, they bring into our midst the presence of the power of God. That's what supernatural gifts, because they're supernaturally given, they bring the supernatural power, the supernatural presence of God into our very midst. This is what we're needing in the church today. In the real church, the bride. Now, the bride is, you know, to be the wife of Jesus Christ, Mrs. Jesus Christ. So she has to be the Word. Now, if someone says, I'm part of the bride, and then they say, well, I don't believe this, and I don't believe this, they can't be. The bride of Jesus Christ will believe all of the Word. All of the Word. She won't want part, just a bit of it. She'll want all of it. Every bit of the Word of God. God in mighty manifestation. She'll want the mighty presence of God, the mighty power of God. The true church today needs this power of God like never before. These gifts being from the Holy Spirit, remember that. They're not from a priest or a minister. They're from the Holy Spirit. Are as high above natural gifts as the heaven are above the earth. So they're not natural gifts. These gifts given by the Holy Spirit are supernatural gifts sent from heaven. When a person manifests a natural talent, he receives credit for it. But the gifts of the Holy Spirit are manifestations. And then God must receive the glory for their manifestations, not man. God will not give his glory unto another. God wants the glory. Amen. This makes such a difference. Listen to me. The discerning of spirits is a supernatural revelation of the unseen world. We cannot, with our natural eyes, see a spirit. But if God gives us this gift, then we can look beyond the veil and see the realm of spirits. It does not say it the discerning of wicked spirits only. Or it does not say it the discerning of good spirits only. It must be, therefore, mean both good and bad. Whatever spirit God wants to reveal or show you, true or false, God can show you it. God can give you the gift of discerning the spirits. And I'm going to show you from the Word of God where people had the wrong spirit and the real Holy Spirit discerned it and dealt with it. Praise God. God can do it. Now, how do we distinguish a good spirit from a bad one? Now, this is a good question, difficult maybe to explain. But let me say this in simple terms. A lamb in the field, you know, a little baby sheep, a lamb, knows its mother's voice, the bleat of its mother. John 10:37, my sheep hear my voice, and they know them, and I know them, and they follow me. When you're really born in the Spirit of God, our spirit, birth witness with his spirit that we are the sons of God. So there's something within us that can discern and know the voice of God. And there's something within us that can discern and know the false voice. The gift carries with it power to judge. Discerning of spirits enables us to see things that cannot be seen with our natural eye. For example, people have seen the
similitude of God himself, as Moses did, as Elijah did. Numbers 12, verse 8. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Moses had a supernatural encounter with God. Praise God. Ezekiel 1, verse 1 to 3. Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the 4th month, in the 50th of months, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. And in the 5th day of the month, which was the 5th year of Jehoiachin's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, expressly, the son of Buzi, in the land of Chaldeans, by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. These men were prophets that had special ministries from God. We could think of Stephen. He saw the Lord exalted when he was in the council and looked up. In Acts 7, verse 55 and 56, he saw the Lord. Micah saw evil spirits that were going to tempt and overthrow Ahab. Micah saw it. Micah knew it. He discerned it and he knew it. Now, I can tell you, I experienced myself what I had when in Czechoslovakia. But before I do that, let me take you through a few simple scriptures first of all tonight. Let's go to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. And I don't need notes or anything. I want to take you to the Bible. You see, God has called us. We must preach. We must be able to show what we believe from the Word of God, not from anything else, but from the Word of God. We must be fit to have our doctrine in Scripture and in the Word of Almighty God. And if you go to Acts chapter 8, let's read from verse 17. Let's go back till verse 15. And this is where they're receiving the Holy Spirit. And even verse 13 tells us, then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now come down to verse 17 of Acts chapter 8. Then laid down their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. So we know the apostles were given power from God, that in whoever they laid their hands, they would receive the Holy Ghost. That's the Bible. Now you cannot take that from the Bible. That's real Pentecost right there. Verse 18. And when Simon saw through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that in whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Now this displeased not just the apostles, but the Holy Ghost in them. Verse 19, but Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, and perhaps the thoughts of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon, you know, asking him to pray for him, so forth. But these apostles discerned, though this man wanted the Holy Spirit, that's what he said. There's a lot of people today say they want the Holy Spirit, but they don't really want the genuine Holy Spirit. They see what the Holy Spirit can do. That's what they want. But their lives don't match up with the Word of God. They don't want the righteousness of God, the holiness of God. And when you're going to work with the Spirit, you need to have the fruits of the Spirit as well. Not just the gifts of the Spirit, but the fruits of the Spirit. And remember, one of them is love. And God wants us to have love. And people, well, you know, gifts, and they don't want to have love at all. God wants us to deserve. yourself. Even though he claimed to be converted, yet the Bible says there was bitterness still within him. And there's a lot of people claim to be Christians today, but they're vehemently against the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're against them. I've even heard people years ago calling tongues tripe. And tripe is a cow's belly. And you remember this, that Jesus himself said that all manner of sin will be forgiven. But one single word spoken against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven in this world or the world to come. If God genuinely uses a man, and you call that the devil, you could be in big trouble. I'm telling you, you need to discern the spirits. That's why it's so important to have discernment of spirits, that we know what we're talking about. Look with me also, if you go to chapter 5, back to chapter 5, and you'll see the case of Ananias and Sapphira. And you know, you can lie to the minister, but you can't lie to God. And true men of God, it's gifted. God can show them things. And here we see an example in Acts chapter 5. Let's read from verse 1. And this is about Ananias and Sapphira. Now, they all agreed. Here they all agreed to bring everything they had to the apostles' feet and lay it at their feet for the work of God. I tell you, that would speak to a lot of people today. A lot of people today don't want to give to God. They don't pay their tithes. They never pay an offering to God. They're holding on to it. And Malachi warns us in Malachi that we're to bring all the tithes into the storehouse and prove God. That's the Bible, that we're to tithe and bring our offering before the Lord and offer it to the Lord. But here they agree to lay all the apostles' feet. But then greed got the better of them. But these apostles of God had discernment. Verse 1 of chapter 5. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, with his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? So they agreed to give it, then they told a lie. Now I'm telling you, nobody's asking anybody for anything, but there is Bible principles that we as believers are to follow. We are to give as God tells us in the Word of God. And look what happened here when they lied about how much they got. You know what just reminds me? My father years ago, and I'm going to say this, broadcasting or not, I'm going to tell it, because there's a couple of devils need shamed. Years ago, my father went to Cork as a missionary from a certain church. They told the people that the money that would be raised would be sent to my father, but yet he never received one single penny, because there was two men in that church, which I will describe tonight as Ananias and Sapphira. Though this is a man and a woman, they were two men. It makes no difference. The same spirit was on them two men as was on these pair. Two deceptioners, two deceivers. And they kept the money that was raised to go to the missionary, and they never sent it. They kept it for themselves. Not only did they keep it for themselves, they told lies about it, and they prophesied. What do you think of that? They give false prophecies to back up what they were doing. And a lot of people that claimed to be Pentecostal swallowed it. And a lot of people was deceived. That's why God wants us to have discernment of spirits. Don't swallow every prophecy that somebody gives, because it could be a devil. Discern it. Try the spirits. God warns us, try the spirits and know whether they be of God or not. And here these lied to the Holy Spirit. But Peter said, filled with the Holy Spirit, why did he keep back? Verse 4. Why does it remain? Was it not saw the key in their heart, they lied about it instead of telling the truth. And God was not happy. Verse 5. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. You know, William Morion Branham, who I believe was a genuine prophet of God, William Morion Branham made a powerful statement. He said in the last days that the ministry here of Ananias, referring to this here what took place, would come back into the true church. This ministry would come back into the true church where there'd be discernment. And look also, they fell down dead because they lied to the Holy Ghost. Verse 6, and the young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Not knowing that discernment had already took place. Not knowing that her husband was already dead. And here she comes into life. Praise God. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? He didn't say to tempt the apostles. He said to tempt the Spirit of the Lord. Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young man came in and found her dead and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. I tell you, there's a lesson in this for a lot of Christians today that lie about things. They lie. Now, Christians that are fit to lie, tell a brother or a minister or a pastor, I tell you, the heart is not right before God. That's a bad thing, I'm telling you. That's a terrible thing to do. But these pair done it. They done it. But look what happened when they done it. And I tell you, people pray about wanting God to move. People pray about wanting the power of God. But yet, if the power of God came in all its fullness, like some people claim they want, what would happen when God began to discern spirits in some places? There's a lot of devils posing as being the real thing, but yet they're devils. And I'm telling you, that's absolutely the word of God and absolutely the truth. Look over in Acts 13 now. These are just some little Bible examples that I told you. I'll show you from the Bible where the Holy Spirit comes and discerns, praise God. Acts 13, Elymas, the sorcerer. Now, the controversy with poor Jesus. Let's read from verse 6 of Acts 13. And when they had gone through the isle of Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, a sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost. There's a secret. You never can have discernment of spirit or any of these gifts until you first are filled with the Holy Ghost. There has to be an absolute importance placed upon the baptism of the Holy Spirit today. We are not preaching enough about receiving the Holy Spirit. I'm saying that even myself. We people need to hear more about receiving the Holy Spirit, the baptism of Spirit. It's one thing to receive. That's wonderful. That's justification. Then you get cleaned up, sanctification. But then there's the third thing, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Power of God, the fire of God, and how we need the Spirit of God today, filled with the Holy Ghost. he'd set his eyes on him. He knew he discerned him. Verse 10, and said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right way of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blamed. My time you suffer, you'd say, my goodness, this is something else. Did you maybe never hear these things before? Not seeing the sun for a season, and immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness. And he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. So I tell you, two of them was carried out dead, and then this sorcerer was blind. And I tell you, there's no doubt. Remember, there are a few warlocks watching. Well, I want to tell you, warlock or no, I want you to know tonight, don't try to tamper with a real servant of God. It will not work. I can guarantee you that right now. The Holy Spirit's more powerful than any demon or any other thing. The Holy Spirit is the ultimate power upon this universe and upon this earth. The Spirit of Almighty God. And when the Spirit of God comes on, men and women of God, the real, genuine Holy Ghost, anything can be done by the Spirit of Almighty God. It's absolutely wonderful what God is absolutely able to do. Praise God. Now, my time's gone. I didn't want to hold as long, but I want to tell you this testimony. I've missed out so many things, and even a testimony myself, I'm going to leave it because I don't want anyone to think that I'm boasting or anything. I would never want to do that. But I will read you from Stephen Jeffries. This is a wonderful testimony which I read about as I was reading his life story. And you remember that the Jeffries was in the early 1900s, and this is 1914. This is how far back we're going. This is when England was visited by the power of Almighty God. And don't forget, the Jeffrey brothers, Stephen Jeffries and George Jeffries, came the whole way over here to Ireland. And a young man in a house service called James McCone was prayed for with the Jeffries. And the power of God come on James McCone. And you know James McCone, if you study him and look him up, he went to Kenya and he saw thousands of churches established by the power of God out in Kenya. Such was the move of God in the early 1900s, not just in America, but also in England and here in Ireland. The Spirit of God moved. Now I know when you read about the 1900 revival from some certain denominationals, they leave out all the supernatural because they do not believe in the supernatural. That's why you need to read it from an apostolic background, a Pentecostal perspective, where you'll see and hear about the ministration of the Spirit of God that moved during these revivals and these times. Let me read this before I come to close this wonderful happening in Stephen Jeffries' meetings. And many people know of George Jeffries, but they don't know of Stephen Jeffries. He was George's brother, a wonderful, wonderful servant of God. Stephen Jeffries, a former coal miner, was beginning his remarkable ministry in South Wales. His church, was packed to the doors with a revival service every night of the week, all day Sunday. They never stopped. On the night 1914, as he was preaching, the people were not looking intently at the preacher. They looked past Stephen Jeffries, and they didn't look his general direction, but they were looking behind him. And he was curious to know why everybody had turned their gaze. And they were looking past him, staring at something while he preached in the service. So he turned to look, and there upon the wall was the likeness of the head of a lamb. Oh, he could not preach anymore. He was so moved and so taken by the likeness of the head of a lamb, which was on the wall behind him, supernaturally on the wall. As they watched, the vision changed into the head of a man, the man of sorrow, others cried out for mercy. This was not the discerning of spirits for one person. It was an enlargement, as it were. Are you hearing me? An enlargement of the gift, as it were. This, you know, the same as you could say of the gift of healing, such as a time in Luke 5, was an enlargement of the gift. Look what it says in Luke 5:17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And I tell you, when the power of the Lord comes, God can bring things on a multitude of people at one time. Just like this Holy Spirit can move on the book of Acts, on 3,000 were added to the church in one day. God can baptize a multitude of people all at once. Such is the power of Almighty God. My friends, this evening, let us be sincere. Let us be real. Away with the nonsense that's been taught that we don't need the gifts. People are dying, so we definitely need the gifts of healing. People are suffering. We definitely need the gifts of working in miracles. There is no such thing as a gift that is not needed today. We need a fivefold ministry. And a fivefold ministry is men called and chosen by Almighty God and filled with the Holy Ghost. And then we need the gifts of the Holy Spirit with that fivefold ministry. Then we need the helps, the governments, and all the different things for the body, that we come all into unity, into one body, into the perfect stature, like unto Jesus Christ, ready to go in the rapture. God bless you tonight. I hope I've said something, and maybe I've said some things I shouldn't have said. I don't care one thing about it. It's absolutely the truth. I want to warn you out there tonight, young people, don't believe everything. I've been in meetings for people sat in chairs, spoke in tongues. Somebody interpreted it, and it was absolute rubbish. It was not the Spirit of God. It was an imitation. But I've also been in meetings where there was a real thing, the real genuine tongues, the real genuine Spirit of God, real genuine discernment. Now let me tell you before I close, this was something that happened. One of our elders was in a service, and I was there, just a young man, not long, serving the Lord. I knew of a young woman, and that young woman's face distorted. A spirit would come upon her and twist her face, and she was in an awful way, and her parents told her to stop it, and she tried to explain to them that she had no control over it, that it was something that came over her, and she could not control it. It was another spirit, an evil spirit. They didn't believe it. But that young woman came to service with me and a friend one night, and our elder was in that service, and the power of God was present, like I've read from my last scripture here in Luke 5:17. That's the secret. The power of the Lord was present. And that night, the power of the Lord was present. And that man of God prophesied over that dear woman. I was there. And he never prayed on her. He prophesied over her. He had discerned, by the gift of discernment, by the word of knowledge, what was happening. And prophecy was given over her, and the power of God was there, and she was completely delivered. And that never ever came upon that young woman ever again. God set her wonderfully free. I want to tell you, brethren, I've been in Africa, in Zimbabwe, Malawi, many different parts of Africa. I've saw people that's demon possessed, genuinely demon possessed. I remember an old woman I was called to pray for late at night, possessed with a powerful devil. And she threw grown men off her. They couldn't control her. They couldn't do anything with her. receive the Holy Spirit and receive Jesus Christ. And she went back, she had her snuff pouch and all her stuff with her. Just near Mashingo in Africa. The pastors know this is the truth. Over there, Calvin Margo, Wilbur Bishandu, Joyce Sheehan, many other pastors know these things when I'm telling you the truth. She went back up to where she lived in the mountains. And as the brothers went to visit her, the neighbors came because of such a change in that one woman. 26 people came to the home. And there is a church there today because of the testimony of deliverance from one woman. That's what our God is able to do. We're not in Africa here tonight, but I want to tell you, Jesus Christ is the same. He's everywhere. You don't put him in a wee box. He does not fit in any box. I don't care what box it is. He doesn't fit in it. I'm sorry. The world can't contain him. The Bible says the clouds are but the dust of his feet. The heaven of heavens cannot contain God. How big is your God and how big is the devil? The devil is as big as you make him, and God is as big as you make him. And I tell you, my God is bigger than Satan and bigger than sin. He made the devil. And the devil is only a tool in the hand of my Master and Savior, Jesus Christ. What are you suffering from tonight? I tell you, God can touch you. He can take fear off you. He can take anxiety off you. He can take stress off you. He can take anything off you right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, he's the same. He's never changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Bow with me tonight while I pray as the Holy Spirit leads this evening. Father, we sense your presence is near. We know, Lord Jesus, you said, if I be lifted up, Jesus Christ, I will draw all men unto me. Father, I pray for each and every one this evening that thou would bring absolute deliverance upon men and women. Help every one of us that our hearts would be right before God. Lord, that we wouldn't lie to the brother or sister, that we'd be real, genuine Christians, filled with the Holy Ghost. Wash us, cleanse us, liberate us, and free us from every work of bondage of the devil. In Jesus Christ's name. Father, I pray for those tuned in tonight. Bless them, strengthen them. Meet their every need. Move by your power and move by your spirit. Manifest yourself amongst us, we pray. For you know you promised you'll never leave us nor forsake us. So we acknowledge you and commit our ways to you and our lives afresh to you right now. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless each and every one this evening. Well, we have just a little word and song before we go. Come to the Savior. Praise God. God bless each one tonight. Yeah. live in service. I'll be preaching at Ballycross, live in service at 11 a.m. at Ballycross. The full address is on our church webpage. Tune in for the Word of God and come along on Sunday. Come along to drive-in service. It's good to get out and come to the house of the Lord. And God bless the brethren from Belfast and the brethren from Pakistan. God bless you all. And wherever you're tuned in from, the Lord bless you all. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow, child of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then, wherever you go. God bless you.